silver in here.
Whoops.
Wow. It's very. It's very.
It could be handy.
It came through.
Soft. Need a like a semi truck horn. All right. Well, I'd like to call the meeting to order here. It's a little minute after five. So, welcome to the meeting. Thanks for coming, everyone. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
I'd like to approve the minutes. Second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion stands. All right, so we don't have anyone from the public here, so no public comment. Bashir, do you know if the imam is going to be able to come today?
That's what I was expecting until I noticed that maybe Abdurrahman told me that his wife had to get babies last week, I don't know. You still have to come. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have any idea.
Okay. Well, how about we skip over that and we can come back to it if he comes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the next agenda item is the New Americans handout. I know Shelley had forwarded that on. Was that from Ken Warner?
Yeah, from the chairman. Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone has had a chance to look that over. But I thought it was interesting, the different statistics on, you know, how many immigrants have come to Minnesota just between 2010 and 2014, and, you know, the impact that they have on our society, whether it's through entrepreneurs or healthcare or agriculture. I thought that was interesting.
I didn't get a copy. I got my letters that I've
okay.
read. I think it was it came with the email and it was the agenda.
Did it come with the letters?
With the agenda.
Separately.
I think it was with the agenda.
I got the agenda
all by itself.
It was
all
by itself.
Yeah.
Last Friday.
Like our surveyor blocks it because it was too big, which is crazy because I got it from Ken, but then it blocked me from the chamber.
That must be
so it could be that the file was just too big for your college email to accept it or something.
But you got it, Dennis, and he's on the same server as you.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I got it in my home. Yeah. But I mean, it came through my city.
City account.
It did.
Yeah. It is big.
Yeah.
I wonder if Mel, if you should just send out the talking points part of it.
Okay.
You can resend that out, not the big.
Right.
I hear it's very interesting.
Because I'm happy to read it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is there's a really nice summary.
Yeah, there's talking points, and it's only two pages, and it kind of summarizes just little snippets of each paragraph from the report.
I have one if someone wants to look at it right now, or she has hers too. It's too bad.
Does anybody have any discussion on that?
Some of the interesting things, over 1 in 5, 20% of physicians in Minnesota graduate from a foreign medical school. You know, as a ratio, I know there's many of them. In rural areas, most of the doctors are. Mm-hmm. But it's 20%, more than 20%, which is was a bigger number. It's a really impressive number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is, especially when you think about the shortage of physicians and that how much value that brings, that 20% of the physicians have come from another country. And think about if we didn't have them, what the shortage would be and just how much, you know, even in the skilled, highly skilled positions, there's so much value that are coming in with immigrants. You know, and there isn't stuff... I mean, I'm not exactly remembering, but, you know, the difference between immigrants and refugees, too, but just the value that that the refugee population adds, too, and the types of jobs they're doing that that can't be filled or, I mean, they really fill a lot of workforce shortage gaps. I don't know that people necessarily recognize that, but when you start talking about 20% of the doctors in Minnesota, you know, immigrated, from another country, that's pretty impactful.
Yeah.
I thought the undocumented part was really interesting, and if you don't have it, I'll just read it. It's three bullet points. Let me just read it, because I thought it was interesting. It says, Minnesota is home to an estimated 93,000 undocumented immigrants, meaning undocumented immigrants comprise about 2% of our population. In 2014, undocumented immigrants earned approximately $1.6 billion in income, of which almost $37 million went to state and local taxes, and $117.3 million went to federal taxes. Undocumented immigrants in Minnesota also contributed over $30 million to Medicare and $116 million to Social Security in 2014. So that should dispel some of this stigma that these people that are undocumented are just taking from the system and not giving back. Mm-hmm. Not true.
Yep.
Right. Well, and some of the things too, of things that we've worked with, that the immigration law that we're operating under is the immigration law of 1996, and it does not fit what is happening now, and is very difficult for people to become legal citizens. The people we work with, especially from Central American countries. Which seems very, you know, if their country was great, they wouldn't be leaving there. But it is it's a very difficult process. It's very difficult for kids. Sometimes they're stopping parents at the border, sending the border parents back, letting the kids go. Well, then what are the kids doing? You know, I mean, it's a huge issue. And it is a really serious kind of a human rights thing too, but there's so much value. I mean, we were all immigrants at one time, you know. So,
but
just really,
yeah, I know. I try not to get too far into the subject, but I lived in Arizona and worked with some humanitarian efforts out there. And one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is how many people are incarcerated and kind of shuttled through a system, and the system is, the jails are privately owned, and so it's in their best interest, the jail's best interest, to incarcerate undocumented people who have come into the desert or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about drug runners, we're talking about people from Central America looking for their family or looking for a job or looking to not be killed because of their beliefs that they're not going to do drugs for. So, and the amount of, and so what they've been doing is they used to pick people up in the desert, give them a sandwich, take them back across the border, and help them get back to their homes if necessary. And some of the Samaritans that I worked with, that's what we did. We would get people back to the shelter in Nogales and help them to get back to their towns, because if they came back in, then they would be incarcerated. Or they were looking anywhere. But anyways, the taxpayers are paying, I don't know, maybe, I can't remember, I can look it up, but because I keep the emails. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars a month that we pay to incarcerate these people. And they have maximized the sentence, which is like 180 days. They maximize it. They get the money, and they end up going back across, getting them back across the border after that. And sometimes they're picked up again, because they're so desperate to be them. Anyways, so it's a subject near and dear to my heart. And
I just saw this week the federal government awarded a contract for $1 billion for a institution for women and children from Central America. But I have a hard time understanding why make such a colossal facility, $1 billion facility, which
could be a Viking stadium.
You look at a hospital. colossal.
Well, that's a Sanford hospital in Fargo now is $1 billion.
Yeah, but that's a major, major facility. Yeah.
And it is. And Arizona, they have prisons that have come up just to house these people. And it, you know, it's all privatized, but the government pays, and...
But it, you know, normally, it's really hard to have a facility that relates to people, if it's that big. Just the size of it, it's a big bureaucracy. And how they save money doing that, I'm not quite sure.
Who saved money?
Well...
I have many undocumented students, and they struggle because they don't get financial aid, and one wrote about coming over, she didn't know how to swim, and she would have drowned. Her dad told her to come, and she was only about 14, right? She and her sister came from their country, and, you know, she went across the Rio Grande, but it was only because the coyote, you know, that illegal smuggler person helped her swim across. But otherwise, they got picked up right away and got put into, like, whatever the human services was, say, in Florida. They've somehow made their way up to, you know, some family here. But I told her that she's the bravest person I know. But they frequently don't have enough money, right? Even the people who want to save the nurses, right? They're very, very smart, but they're really struggling because we offer really no financial aid.
And I worked in Florida, and some I met people who were came illegally. One was a doctor, and he was from Ecuador. Well, he was from Cuba, but he worked in Ecuador, and then he came into the States illegally. He and his wife, and one of the, I think one kid, and he was a trained doctor. But he came through Mexico, got to Florida, got established in the community. And he was given, they helped him. And he can't work as a doctor, but he taught me Spanish, and we did blood pressures together. And it's really, I think it's...
Are you talking, what's the typical profile of undocumented? Is this, I suppose there's quite a variety, but...
Right.
People have been in the country quite a while, or is it recent, or is it, what's the...
A lot of students. There's a lot of kids at the high school. That are
yeah, our numbers go down in the K-12 system after the ICE raids.
Yeah. And there are several that are here without parents. You know, I don't know. It's such a long process to go through that, and then something like they have to go back to their country for 10 years, and then they can come back. And it's just about impossible to become a citizen that way, under the way the immigration law is written right now. And that's a federal...
The answer has to be immigration reform, and that's not going to happen.
Right. So. Right. And that's, yeah, it's very disheartening.
Well, maybe this is something that we can, in the future, have an education program in the community about, inform the community. But thanks for forwarding this on, Shelley. I think it was very helpful and important for us to read.
Did this come from Ken Warner?
Yes. Oh. Yep. The Minnesota State Chamber of Commerce is who gathered the information.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he sent it to me to forward to this committee.
So the chamber put it together?
Yes, the Minnesota State Chamber.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bashir, would you like to introduce our guest?
I think, this is Sheikh Adam, so he's the imam, the one that we have been waiting for the last meeting and also this one. So I think he can introduce himself. I'm Bashir Abdi, this is Sean, this is Jelly Benson, and go ahead.
Lynn Travaglio.
Shelley Hughesby.
Janelle Summers.
Crystal Dolliger.
Richard Ingham.
Dennis Anderson.
Marlon Brims.
Barbara Little.
Abdurrahman Abdi.
Eden Hassan, I'm the Imam Priest of Damascus. Thank you guys for this opportunity. So,
thank you for coming.
I'm really glad to be on the field today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you can go ahead, you're muted, so just...
Would you like to talk a little bit about, I know that we had on here about the relationship of the church and the mosque, and if you want to talk a little bit about that, are you interested in that?
First of all, on behalf of the East African community or Muslim community in Wilmer, I would like to say, first of all, thank you so much for this opportunity. I was being an imam, I think, last 6 years. So I think everyone of you knows where the mosque is in Northwest in Wilmer. So you understand my English is very limited, so.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
It's trying, yeah. Just one mosque?
Yes, just one mosque, yeah. And we have a very good relationship with the community, with other churches. Of the community, yeah.
He said any specific questions he would like to get that opportunity, you can answer all about. If you ask any special questions or any topics that you can talk about. Mm-hmm. So
are mosques separated by the Sunni and Shia groups? Are they distinct?
No, we don't have all, it's all Sunni.
It's all Sunni here.
We don't have Shia here.
But the Shia would have separate mosques. They would not share a mosque.
Yes, yeah, they do.
They would share a mosque.
I think we have just one. So we don't have Shia them.
But the Shia would also come to the same mosque as the Sunni.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are the same actually. The difference between Sunni and Shia, even though we believe in God, we believe in one prophet. The difference between is only small things that they admire after Prophet Muhammad died, peace be upon him. They just, it's little different. It's all in all, it's like, we can say it's a small thing that, except with the, when we differentiate the politics between the leaders of some of the countries, they politicize everything and they make it, you know, everything. They mix with politics. But in believing and in the religion, it's a small difference. Nothing even, they can say, the small, but nothing even, they can say.
For something so small, it's hard to picture the main enormous problem and challenge it is.
Yeah. If I will add something I would only share, there's not much difference, but there's some little bit ideology that there's a difference, you know. We are sharing everything in common. And we have one person in the mosque who pray with us, and he does whatever he wants, like the way he believes God and the scripture. He kind of have some verses on the Quran that they misinterpreted, but everything else we share.
Mm-hmm. I have a... What is the worship schedule at the mosque? I know Fridays... people are there worshiping, but what is the schedule at the mosque?
We have
a small one.
Shant Fari, how we 5 times a day, or Shant Salado,
we pray 5 times a day. That is the regular praying.
In general, how we have 5 pillars in Islam, or Shant Arkam Islam Tajirta.
We have got the 5 pillars of Islam, the 5 main points.
So, Marka. مركي لا شهادة كتب وإن سلطة كسوحيك تولى مرتوعة سلطة حلت كذا شنتي مالك وإن
when you clear and classify that it's only one God and then you have to pray, that's the second one.
So
the first pillar you have to confirm and clear and realize that there's only one God, nothing to one. And then second, you have to pray and remember that you have to stand in front of God and worship and pray. That's second.
And then
the praying Fridays, it's a special one. the community must come together, each and everyone who can afford, who can do that. It's not a must, but it's if you, Muslims should come and pray on Friday. It's a gathering, so that's a special one.
Okay.
Yeah, for the Friday, if you're a male, whether you are working or not, it's compulsory.
Right.
Yeah, it's compulsory. You have to come. If you work somewhere, you have to get a permission, you know. And typically, you cannot miss out of four. You have to at least attend one of that in between that day for the whole of total four. You cannot miss all of that four. At least you have to come, even if it's three. So you cannot miss out three times.
So on Friday, on
Friday.
Four prayers?
Four prayers. Yeah.
It's like your Sundays.
Yes.
And especially the church, it's similar.
Right.
Normally, morality and culturally, the Christianity, they go together, family, whole, maybe. I think on Sundays, they attend. So that's how, that's the way, but that's the same thing. So
if I can, you have this on Friday. How do you, what do you do about work? I mean, not, how do you get out of work? Is it all day?
No, you can work.
Okay.
It's only just 1 hour.
Just one hour.
Four different times a day? So
no,
if you work...
Just one time.
We started the speech one to two. So
it's a speech. The imam must stand in front of the people and inform them, you know, and preach them.
But only for men?
Yes.
When do women go?
They have to go together. There is a place there. The mosque. It should be separate. And woman is optional. It's not must. Because women have got kids and children and they have got another issue. So it's not must like a man. So woman should be there. They can come. There's a big space for them.
Yeah.
There's no discrimination. There's nothing. Women and
they can hear the.
Yes. They can hear. They can watch. They can see. There's a big place. It's just it's a big building. You can there. You can. But in Islamically, it's prohibited that woman cannot, if it's not your wife, if it's not your sister, if it's not your, I mean, grandmother or anyone who have got your, they cannot touch and sit together and maybe.
Right.
Yeah, it should be different. Women and men should be different. That's it.
How are you? I decided to come to the love and love. So we have a place for women. We have a place for women.
In Wilmer, is the entire Muslim community Somali? What if they come from Pakistan, India, I mean, Iran? Do you have any other nationalities present in the Wilmer?
Yeah. We have different cultures. We have different people. There, some are from Pakistan. Some are from white people. It doesn't matter.
You're welcome. In Islamically, it's not about tribe. It's not about some people come from somewhere. It's about believing.
If
you believe what I believe, it's welcome. I don't think in Christianity I've got some people of type of. It's black and white and brown and yellow and whoever he is, wherever he came from. It's a religion. It's a place of worship. So,
but most of it's for money, so we have problems.
But most of them.
I guess I understood that. I just wondered whether they are present here.
They are present. We have got the white people here. We have got, it's there. We have got so many different Indians and whites and blacks and browns and...
Yeah.
Can Christians come to mosque?
Yes.
You can come.
Anytime.
Welcome.
Do women need to cover their heads?
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
Okay.
If you're not Muslim. Okay.
So how do you see the relationship between the church, the churches of Wilmer and the mosque? And
yeah.
What improvements can we help?
Yeah, sometimes we have, like this meeting, sometimes, yeah, we are discussing what is good for us, for the community, for the
so
city.
They already
pastors?
Meet monthly,
yeah.
I don't know, monthly.
Yeah.
Sometimes they meet.
Yes, like sometimes.
The church and the mosques in Wilmer, they have good communication, a very good communication already. They see each other, they have good discussion, they do that. So
I remember it was 2 years ago, I invited some of them. They were thinking. 30 people come to the mosque.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah. They were asking me a lot of questions.
I guess, huh?
Yeah,
sure.
That was good, I was fine.
How
big
is the congregation now?
Several people. I think like what you said,
I've been around a long time. I can remember when we first started, and we were seeing a population grow.
Mm-hmm.
There was no mosque, and so they had to go to the armory, which I thought was outrageous, that a religion has to be praying in a military facility, but that is how it started. So I'm curious, if it's getting big, are you going to outgrow the spot you are at?
Yeah, that's why we buy the mosque.
Yeah.
About the mosque.
So it's still big enough for?
For now, I think
okay.
For now.
But later on,
we don't know whether the community will increase or decrease.
Right.
It's up to the. But for now, I think if people are going to worship, then they have all the space there.
But it's different. Like Friday, it's not like other days. Ramadan is not like other months.
Right.
So it's different. What,
yeah.
So like Eid, we have Eid of Fitr. Other ones coming somehow.
Like a Christmas day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
yes.
Let me put it this way, like a Christmas day.
No, they understand Eid,
yeah.
what the Eid means.
Yes.
Right? That's an Arabic
yes.
word. That's
yes.
an Arabic word, actually. It's not even my language, it's an Arabic word. But it's like a day of first felt.
So, yeah.
Did you have your Eid celebration in the mosque this year, or did you have it? Because I know in years past you've had it at Robbins Island.
Yeah,
it gets so big.
Civic
you had it at
the Civic
Center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not enough in the mosque. And we have to see each other every
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's cool.
On Friday, can anybody preach in the mosque, or do you have to be an imam?
In imam, if you have a...
Imam Kakliya, if he
doesn't show up, if he's not here, the imam.
Yeah.
If the imam is there, imam is the leader. He can appoint you or me or anyone. If he's not there, someone should act. He has got a second. He has got like a face president. He has got another one, like
the
a speaker of the house.
Vice imam.
You have a board?
Yeah, we have got a board. If the imam gone, there is a vice president, like a system in government. If the vice president is gone, the speaker of the house.
Yeah.
If that's how they manage.
We have a board.
We have
board members. Yeah, they can they can fire the imam. They have.
They can impeach.
Yeah.
like a Nixon, like a president of Nixon.
Could you tell us your background? How long you've been here?
Yes, I can.
A little bit about you?
Yeah. I was born in Kenya. I'm from Kenya. I grew up in Kenya.
We grew up in Pwani, Kenya, actually. Pwani, Kenya is a Kenyan. He's a Somali Kenyan. Like, he's a Somali Kenyan. He finished his secondary school and university, Islamic University in Kenya, in Nairobi, actually. He came here a couple of years ago. In such a commission?
5 years.
Like 5 years. So we have been here for almost five or six years, something like that. So he have got a family, he have got children, he's a father. So we are the one who choose him to stand there and preach him because of we know him and he can deserve that position. Yeah. Polite and quiet and well-educated man in terms of Islamically. I know we can't speak English, but yeah, but
how
so many other languages
speak. How many other languages?
Somali, Kiswahili language, Kenyan, and Arabic.
You can speak Arabic well, more than even. You can speak Somali, you can speak Swahili.
Okay.
Anybody knows Kiswahili? I know, you went there. Yeah.
Asante sana. Jambo?
Kiswahili. Kiswahili is a very good word. So almost 15 countries speaking that language. We call African language. If you go to Africa, Swahili is like English in Northern America.
So I have five children here.
You have five children, and he's a father, and that is my girl.
What is the process to become an imam?
Three things most.
These are three things first. The three main things.
First, you have to have knowledge like Islamic studies.
First, you have got a knowledge. You have to know what you're doing. You have got a knowledge, background knowledge, and well-educated about what you're talking about, preaching. Mm-hmm. You cannot preach when you don't know nothing about Islam. It's not about standing there and give a preach. You have to know questions can come and things can come. So you should have to get a capable to answer all that questions.
Why not?
Second, you have to be well respected in the community because of you cannot you cannot be a bad guy and stand in front of people. You have to be respected, you have to be the good manner in terms of relationship, not only Islam, anyone or humanity. You have to be respected. You have to be a respectful man. That's
all.
You have to get a good leadership.
Some leadership or some experience.
Experience.
How to lead.
That's the three things.
So that's it. You have to have the important thing. You have to have a knowledge, and you have to have a good character, but I don't know.
What is your greatest challenge as Imam of Wilmer?
What's the language? Okay, go ahead.
I'm going English, but I'm going to go English.
They say I little bit speak, but you know I just feel shy when you don't know the language and old man. What you don't know? What you don't try to speak Chinese even though when people may be.
I don't speak English, but I'm not how bad with the English.
That's main things. Okay, go ahead. I think about.
ummad kala duwan baa la dhigaraynaa oo ma sii soo yimi sida la dhigaran lahaa iyo wada ka yadana marka laakiin dib ma qab.
Yeah, that's in my things. And also he deal with so many different people, different communities, different backgrounds, so
different cultures,
different cultures, all bad things,
different religious even.
Yeah, sometimes so
something happened, you have to deal with it, you have to be
diplomat too.
Yeah, it's not easy. So, but in Wilmer, I feel we have a very good people, very nice people. The government, in general, the community, I feel very safe.
Good.
Also, we don't have problem with what's going on the 20 city, other states. We don't have that, so one of these.
Is there any danger of youth being radicalized through internet exposure itself?
That's a good point.
You haven't come across that here in Melbourne?
No. You haven't seen. He's the one. He's the one who can inform. I think he's the one who knows everything more than even us. And deep down in the mosque, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen. We haven't. Even though he was working with different agencies. He's the imam, but we haven't seen anyone report. We haven't seen anyone. He said the difference that we have got a difference from other towns and other countries and other cities. That's the main thing that we can get the credit from. Because we haven't seen anyone who do that. He's the one who can encourage and discourage anyone who is trying to do that. I think last Friday or two Fridays ago, he's talking about that thing in the front of the mosque. The speech was talking about what about radicalization and all that things and going to some bad things. The main thing, the theme of the speech was talking about that thing. The theme. Sometimes it's different. On all Fridays, they prepare different speeches talking about the different things. But that thing they're talking about right now, he was talking about last Friday, or I think one of the Fridays he was talking about that thing. The problem of that thing is the only one who can fall into is the ignorant, the drug users, those who know nothing about knowledge about Islam, the true Islam. Those are the ones. And that's the responsibility of the imam, to inform the people and emphasize and educate them that this virus should be stopped and should not go into the wrong side. That is his responsibility. You have to do that. That is his job. Because if he's the one who's standing in front of people and talk openly.
Yeah,
sometimes that things happen and did by someone who know nothing about Islam. And the media also blame and you know scapegoating Islam. They make scapegoating. So
at the mosque, are there youth programs? Programs for the youth?
Yes.
The mosque has a big gym, so the youth they play there for basketball. Some others they do like some other activities they do. So we have a good kids so far compared to St. Clara and Minneapolis. So most of the time he's the one who's educating for the kids. And we have a couple other guys who also educate them, that explain them about what's going on about the world. It's not good for by himself or the community or the Islam. So the imam was saying was about, you know, when something happened, the media will exaggerate, you know, and they just keep adding a lot of things. So that's some of the challenges going on about the world. And so there's a lot of people who talk that what's going on about the world is not something correct for the Islam. There's a lot of scholars who talk about what's going on about the world is not correct. There's more people, the educated people, who are always, you know, talking after any incidents happen in the world.
For example,
Some of the questions that came across to the imam was like, you know, when something happened to the world, like the radical or something, like they asked him, like, you know, your neighbors are not Muslim, so how are you gonna deal? How are you going to have a connection with them? So that was some of the questions.
I was saying, yeah, my name is Absalom. I'm going to take a look at the Maka Medina.
The Prophet first, when he moved from Mecca, it's Saudi Arabia, it's like two towns. When he moved from Mecca to Medina, he met there like three different tribes, and they were not a Muslim, they were Christians. They were Jews, Christian, and some atheists. They don't have any religion. So he was dealing with them, these three tribes. They said, and there was some criteria that they write it down. That is, he says, like, we will be together. Let everybody have his own religion, but we will be having some things in common, like paying the taxes, you know, like if other Arab people came from another town that trying to create a conflict or a fight, we will be working, fighting together. There's some good connection that he made that everybody can live peace and stay. If anyone wants to convert from Christianity to Muslim, feel free, but it's nothing false. That's how the Imam deal with the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean like you're not a Muslim, so we are always against with you. It's not that the way Muslims work.
That means that's not true Islam. Yeah. The Quran is just like a poop. That poop, you can't read it. You can't read it within a couple of days. You can't even see the things that they're talking about every day. When you go straight to the pool, you cannot see. Some words, they misinterpret and change the meaning, but you cannot even see that thing. You are free. You can be Islam. You can go. You can be Islam. You can get out. You can in. It's your choice. But there's no force that you can force someone and make him what he is not. The important thing is that our religion talk about. You cannot be a Muslim until you believe Jesus is a prophet. Unless you believe Jesus, you are not a Muslim. Remember that. You are not a Muslim unless you believe Jesus is a prophet of God, is a true prophet of God.
So,
everybody can understand when you talk about that. You can understand all the religions are from God, and the difference you cannot solve in a violence. We have to talk about the discuss and the differences. We can.
Thank you.
Have you heard or read of the Lutheran Social Services study? My neighbor is Muslim. Has anybody heard? If you Google "my neighbor is Muslim," it was a study put out by Lutheran Social Services, and it does a fantastic job of clarifying that Islam is a peaceful religion, that jihad is an incorrect term or is used incorrectly by the media to portray violence, and kind of compares some of our beliefs in Christianity to some of the beliefs in Islam, and really shows that there is so many similarities.
What's that website?
My neighbor is Muslim. And I could
Lutheran Social Services.
Yeah, and it's free. Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota. So it's free, and you can download the whole thing. My church did it as a 7-week study as a group. So
thank you for doing this.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was kind of curious. I haven't received the perspective back of how accurate the book on the Muslim side, but.
Thank you for coming today and
so
sharing with us. We appreciate you coming.
Any other question?
I have a hard question for you. The radicalization, in my understanding, isn't just from preaching or misunderstanding internally within the Muslim community. It can also come from intolerance and hatred from another community. Mm-hmm. We are a human rights commission, and so we're concerned with acts of discrimination and those types of things. Have you been seeing any of those in this community where you see those kinds of acts? And if you don't want to share them, if you do see them, please feel free to bring them back to this group, because we need to know that to advocate for everyone.
I haven't seen any of
that. That's
very clear question. Thank you so much. I haven't seen anything. That's a good question. If I get anything, yeah. I know you guys is a human rights commission of the city. I know. Wilmer. I will.
I think the Imam will share with us anything. Yeah. Any abuse of women rights, children's, and all that things. Any discrimination and all that bad things. Well, I think he can share with us because of him know as well.
One thing I would like to share with you is many families are complaining about the service,
county family services. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The having too little interpreter. Interpreters,
or we have a community is new here. We are growing in here, and we have a problem. Like they say, we have a problem with transportation, language, like housing. Also,
He says the Imam, he mentioned a couple of things about, you know, the people are complaining about from the county. It's like the translator, interpreter, transportation, and you know, some of the people, they don't understand about the system of United States. You know, if the family happened something in incident or like the tragedy that happened last couple of weeks ago, it was like last month. Yeah. So if that things happen, people are fearing about, you know, there would be. Yeah, they will be, you know, they will be scared about, you know, the government will talk to you more about how this happened, why this happened, what's going on. So there are more questions that they're scared about the people from the community.
The difference between people come from East Africa or somewhere and the ordinary people living here and the system, the American system. If your child did something wrong, there in our homeland, we were straight talking to the child and say, hey, don't do it. Like my father, if I did something wrong, he say, hey, don't do it. If I do it, he will clap me. Not too much, but, you know, it scared me. But here in the system, United States, you can't even talk to your son. You can't even say anything. Even though he's a small kid, people are scared. If you talk about your son, a very strong language, to make him straight. So that's how.
For example, yesterday, you know, Shalei had a girl who had a mother, looked at a mother, like a سيب دلده ومتهل سوي دي والدك سيب دلده ومتهل مركا واختارك وقاية كبير دي وحمق ابتر حالك هكا عفاك رسوك هذا نصف عفاك
Yesterday what happened is that there's a quarrel, chest laceration on my right hand.
She just one hand. Yeah, she said
on top of the, on the bar, broken bottom. And then there's a maybe happened laceration on her body. The doctors ask so many questions, say how these things happen, but these things just happen, accidentally. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a big deal, but that's how things, it's a big difference. People knew nothing about that things.
I think, you know, I work in mental health, and I think mental health and CPS cases, I have seen that with different cultures, not just Somali, just Muslim.
They take the child aside.
I personally want to know what I can do to help, because if there's an incident that is purely you know, kind of a Lutheran way to deal with a kid versus a different culture. And then that mother or father is penalized and the child's removed from the home. A lot of times, maybe it's not really an issue of abuse, but it's kind of do it and then ask questions later. So I think if there are situations like that, I think we need to know about it. I know some situations that I've seen and heard in my work, and it's one of the reasons I put my hand up and said I'll be here. But I don't know, it's
I mean, that is true, because when you speak English and you take your child to the doctor and things have happened, it's easy for us to answer all those questions, question after question, and finally you're like, they fell, okay? But when you're speaking through an interpreter, it's a lot more difficult. There's confusion. You're wondering, why are they asking me all these questions? They tripped and fell, and that is a legitimate issue, because
cultural right. differences, yes. not necessarily just a language difference.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
right.
That's a kind of a concern mm-hmm. of mine.
Right. Mm-hmm. With some understanding. I mean, there isn't the understanding back, both language-wise and culturally, you know.
That's true, but it's also true that we live under the same law.
Right.
And if
Absolutely.
A white man abuses his wife physically, harms her, that man will be put in jail.
Yeah.
And so will the Somali man.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. But I understand yeah. that it might be more frightening because of the communication.
It's true.
But be it understood that it is the law of the land, even though there are cultural differences.
Yes. Thank you.
Right.
aniga macallinimada way wax yaalaan bartay waxa ka mid a diinta macallinimada ka mid ah soo maxay ahayd in wax la garaaco khalad baan arkaa totally
according to his knowledge he was a teacher before he became imam what he realized and what he know about islam beating someone is prohibited is a forbidden mm-hmm. you cannot beat someone you cannot
wax yaalaha
you can't
ilmaha ku iman waxa ka mid ah hadii ilmaha la garaaco نوبين ببرنايا خيانو برنايا سيو شو قبض بعده خلط وي.
If you cheat your if you beat your son, probably he will learn more. He will learn how to lie. He will learn how to deceive and cheat.
Yeah.
In order to save himself from that beating. So when you beat your son, you are teaching something different. Tricks to save himself.
Yeah.
maxay waxaan ka hadlay waxa weeye waalidku ilmihiisa inuu tarbiyeeyo oo la hadli karo waa inuu seef dareemo isagoo ilmihiisii haysta
what he's talking about the parents must feel safe
yeah.
when he's talking to his child
mm-hmm.
the parents must have got to feel a little bit power that he can
mm-hmm.
absolutely stop what this son or daughter or whoever doing something wrong
mm-hmm.
but if you're scared that if you talk to your son and say, hey, don't do that, if you're scared, maybe the son can phone 911 and call the police.
Right.
And so that I understand, this
right.
is the land of the law, as you say, but when you don't know the language and you don't even understand when the police come,
mm-hmm.
perhaps the children know more than the parents. the children knows more than the parents. Because of parents, they came from outside and when you get older, learning a language to be very difficult to you.
That is the ilma ad wahasamay walaqadan baradasan. That is the ilma walaqadan.
Some people believe that if you talk to the son and or the child, maybe you lose that child and take it away. Some people believe that. I know the system. I know more. That's not gonna happen. That's not gonna happen. But some parents believe that.
So hayal hasa kabin tayle.
That's usually what he talks about.
Well, thank you again.
Nice to meet you.
Any other question?
There's a million.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, I didn't get your name.
Eden Hassan.
Aiden.
Eden. Yeah.
Aiden.
Eden Hassan, yeah.
Aiden. Otherwise, you could call Adam.
Aiden.
The father of a human being.
Hassan.
Do you believe that, guys?
Yeah.
Adam is the father of a human being.
Yes.
Adam, yeah. Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam.
Good
do you believe
yes.
Adam and Eve?
Yes.
Adam
yeah.
And Eve?
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Bashir, for lining
okay.
That up.
Well,
yeah.
Hosting.
Our job is to come together, bring those people who are hiding, bring them, come together and discuss and
mm-hmm.
United. So this is the imam.
That was really interesting, and I'm sure we had many, many more questions.
Yeah.
I can go, we can go to the mosque and discuss about that. There's a board. I think Abdulrahman is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
He's one of them. So we can discuss about, we can go there. We have got a, they have got an office there. So
a couple of years ago, I invited for, I don't know, Pastor Bruce. He's a pastor, I don't know what the church is.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of other pastors who came. We invite them and just see what's going on about the mosque, how we pray, how we teach the kids for the Quran.
These men have a relationship with the church, so they always, they meet each other there, so.
Good.
As a religion.
Well, we have just a few minutes left here, so I just wanted to touch on the Blandine Foundation. There's the Leadership in Ethnically Diverse Communities program that will be happening here in Willmar. I think that was included with our agenda here. So I looked into this a little bit more, and if you're interested, you can fill out an application to be a part of the program, and you would just need to visit that website that's at the bottom of the second page, leadership.blandinfoundation.org. And I looked at that, and it sounds like the schedule will be, the session dates will be in September, October, November, and December. So if you go to the website, you'll be able to click on Willmar and get that information as well. But September 14th, September 15th, October 13th, November 3rd, and December 1st are the dates for that. So it looks like you have to go through an application, and then their board will review and let you know if they've accepted your application.
What are those dates again, Crystal?
What's that?
What are those dates again?
September 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. September 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. October 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 3rd, 9 a.m. to 1. And December 1st, 9 a.m. to 1. And these are going to be at the sessions will take place at Ridgewater College. So, and then we had, Shelley also forwarded the water safety information, I think.
Oh.
Was that you
the
that
letters.
Forwarded
the
water
that,
safety? That was on
Monday.
And so
yesterday.
I just I saw a report on Facebook today that there were about 80 kids that showed up there to that mm-hmm. in the families. And actually one of the girls that works for me is a lifeguard with the Y, and she said that it was really a good program. So she was involved with that too.
It was very well attended. I went by there. There are some concerns. I think there are 3 dates that were scheduled. But people are, well, how much swimming can you learn in 1 or 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
But if it just at least gets people thinking about it and comfortable,
yeah.
I guess that's the way to start it. But,
right.
Yeah.
A little awareness, and maybe that'll push them to be involved in swim lessons.
Exactly.
Then.
That's
so,
what
yeah. Doing. Yeah.
Or even I was thinking, hopefully they offer that again in the spring,
mm-hmm.
like at the Y.
I think
you
that's
know,
what they
before
talk
the
about.
You know, before people start being around water and in water,
mm-hmm.
you know, that to remind them the safety. But some of the things they were doing, like how you lay on the dock and you pull someone in,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounded like they were trying to teach some basic things, not, you know, just swimming,
right.
But that you can float on your back and just basic survival things.
Well, I think
mm-hmm.
they had the rescue boat was there too. So, I mean, they were doing
right.
some,
cool.
they were going
cool.
well beyond
cool.
swimming lessons. I think they
yeah.
were doing some life-saving kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So I think the other points on here, the discussion of educational ideas, we'll push that out to the next meeting. But just for a second here, I did think of homelessness, sex trafficking, accessibility, and this new American economy brochure. Those are just some ideas that we can talk about next time. And also maybe something like English as a second language, maybe we need to discuss, have a program on that in the community.
The other thing with the immigrant situation, people crossing the border.
Mm-hmm.
I've met people here in Wilmer that crossed the border where I was out passing out water, putting water out for people.
Hmm.
So no, we had in the minutes for next month, are we still planning to try to get the
police
department here to talk about human rights stuff?
I think so. Who is going to talk to the... You were going to? Okay. Can you
mm-hmm.
can you work on that? That would be great.
I don't know if we'll have the chief or you'll delegate someone, but
perfect. Great. And then I did send the letters out to Janelle, and she forwarded them on. So if you just want to look at those and then respond by email with your input, that would be great. We could send them out once those have been reviewed. So looking to our next date, September. Let's see. So we do the third Tuesday. So that would be, let's see, the 20th. How does that look for everybody's schedule?
Yeah. Let's hope our basements are dry by then.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not available that day, but that's
you're not? Okay.
I won't be
either. Is that
20? Do we want to try for a different date since a couple people can't come?
Probably a couple of us might be gone all the time.
Right. That's true.
Be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
And we want everybody, but it's just, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I think we should stick to this.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Can we just say every third Tuesday then from now on instead of scheduling every time?
Well,
we'll
that's,
just add that on.
This place
that's
yeah.
So I would
that's
say it's a
you're
good
right.
idea.
Okay. So on the agendas, let's just add that as the point before adjourning that our new meeting date will be the third Tuesday. Perfect. Okay. Can we get a motion to adjourn? Great. Perfect.
So moved.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Some people are going to go to the Rock and Robins.
Yeah.
Don't want to
thank you.